This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you, Levi, and good morning. Welcome to Sports Saturday here on Memorial Day weekend. And we, of course, will have sectional championship softball coming up 10 o'clock this morning at Litchfield. Hillsboro will take on Southwestern. The rematch from May the 8th, that was the conference championship game, won by the Toppers 2-0. And they will square off today for a trip to the Elite Eight. So we'll have a lot more on that ball game here as the program moves along. But, of course, we start today with the loss of Terry Tote. Terry passed away on Thursday morning after a long battle with cancer. He put up one heck of a courageous fight, fought to the absolute end, and he will be missed in a way that words can't even really describe, from those of us here at the radio station to those who listened to him on the radio for 40 years to those who knew him across the various communities that he served over his life. And my goodness, did he serve the communities over his life. He was a public servant to the end. You know, he never held any type of public office, never that type of thing. But that guy was just there. If you needed something, Terry was there. And he was always there for the right reasons. He did the stuff because it was the right thing to do, because he wanted to do it. He didn't do it for fame or notoriety. Now, those things came to him just by him being the type of person that he was. But he never looked for it. And I've mentioned this before, but he would always tell me that Hayward Talley, the founder of WSMI, always told him, no one person is the star of this radio station. The radio station needs to be the star. And so Terry, he lived by that as far as work went. He was never trying to pump himself up for any type of ego reason. He just did his job. Did it incredibly well for 40 years, and as a result of doing that, he did become the star of WSMI. He's the voice of the radio station. I mean, when people think of WSMI radio, they think of Terry Tote. That voice of his is iconic. We can all hear it in our minds right now, and it's just one of those things. Thankfully, we have a bunch of wonderful memories of Terry. And those are the types of things, you know, he's gone, but the memories aren't. The memories will be with us forever, hearts, minds. And it's nice to know that we at least have so many great memories, because he lived a great life. He lived a happy life. He lived a full life. Now, it ended way too soon, and he deserved a much better ending than one he got with that awful battle with cancer. It's a terrible disease. We all know somebody who has either had cancer or who has been affected by cancer. It doesn't care who you are, what you do, what you've done. It's indiscriminate. And Terry fought it head on. He never shied away from it. To the very last moment, he fought with every fiber of his being. And in so many ways, that's how he lived his life. He was a fighter. He was an absolute fighter, and he loved life. He lived it to the fullest. And just for me personally, it was just an absolute privilege and honor to know the man and to call him a friend. And I will miss him every day. There won't be a day that goes by that I don't think of something that Terry taught me or a funny expression that Terry would have. He was just simply the best. And David Jenkins put together a really fine tribute to honor Terry. And we're going to bring that to you right now.
Good morning, Terry.
Hello, my friend.
How in the heck are you?
Oh, I think I'm all right.
Well, that's good to hear.
Terry Tote, a member of the WSMI family for more than 40 years, passed away Thursday after a long battle with cancer. A titan of the industry, Terry retired from broadcasting on April 20th in order to better manage his health. Though his last few weeks may have been marred by the disease, his legacy had already been established. As colleague Tim Mai said, was how he cared for the people in the area.
He cared about other people so much, whether it was radio-related or just about the people in the area, specifically the people of Raymond. You think about all the time he put into the park, all the years he spent on the park board. He didn't do that for himself. He did that so the kids of Raymond would have a place to play, you know? And he always, always cared about people. If you needed anything and you asked Terry, he was going to be there. There was no question about it. And, you know, I always remember him talking about from a radio perspective, it's about the kids. You know, that's what this is all about. It's about the kids. And he was genuine in it. He didn't say it because it was a good soundbite or because he thought it was what should be done. It's what he truly believed in his heart. And when you would be at a game with him and you would see the number of people from different generations that came up to him during breaks, it would shake his hand. He knew all their names. All their names. And he would recount the game and the moment. That is why he was so loved by so many people that had the joy of listening to him over the years, because it was a real connection that he had with people.
Terry's legacy is twofold. One, obviously sports. Without question, he became, and we've had great sports announcers over the years, all the way back to 1950, but Terry became the sports announcer for WSMI, for basketball and for baseball, and to develop soccer and girls softball as it became available. Without Terry's impetus, those things wouldn't have happened as far as the soccer and the girls softball. Secondly, Terry's impact on every community that he did a live remote or broadcast a parade or did special events. I mean, everyone knows Terry, it seems, in Nokomis. Everyone knows Terry in Benilde, and certainly everyone knows Terry in Raymond. And one other thing, as great as Terry was for the radio station, as an ambassador for the radio station out to the communities, even greater was Terry's impact on his hometown as a person, as a volunteer, as somebody who made things happen and did it so many things behind the scenes, so many things without any thought of reward. Terry probably is one of the maybe four or five people in that panhandle area who should have a statue after him.
Like John Michael Marty, Raymond Mayor Denny Held emphasized Terry's community involvement, specifically referencing the work he did with the village's soccer field.
Terry was just a fantastic person, very community-minded. When soccer started getting together, the village had a park out there, and the park district had the baseball field, and Terry was very interested in soccer, and he came up to the village board meeting, him and Vern Pinkston and Kent Sarles, with an idea to start some kind of soccer league, but they didn't have any ground. And Kent had some ground across the way, and he offered it to the park for a soccer field, but naturally they didn't have the money to purchase it. So Terry was kind of the lead negotiator coming to the village asking for the village to buy the ground, and then they developed it. And Terry took a lot of pride in doing that. He was the main driving force for getting the soccer field there in Raymond, and he spent hours of seeding it, of mowing it, of chalking the line, setting up the goals. I mean, he was the main reason why that was there, and he has been very instrumental in community activities and just a fantastic person to have in your town. We was proud to have him in our village.
Terry loved sports, and that love ran deep. As his best friend Vern Pinkston said, it went as far back as the fifth grade.
Even when we were like in grade school, we'd always
be riding bikes around town. We'd always be trying to find a ball game or something to do. As we were growing up, we were always trying to organize some kind of game, whether it be wiffle ball or stick ball or Indian ball, basketball.
Anyone who ever spent time with Terry knows that one of his proudest accomplishments was serving as the commissioner of the Raymond Stickball League and building Crawdad Stadium, a facility he had help constructing thanks to Denny.
We always met on a Saturdays in town there, and we had a little baseball field behind Howard and Roberta Jones's place, and we called it Crawdad Stadium. And we always played baseball there and got a game together, and it was always a challenge to hit one off a train when the train went by. Hit a home run across the tracks and hit the train while the train was going by. And I'm not sure, I'm thinking Vern Pinkston hit one, and I think Terry even hit one time, because they'd always kind of, it was a challenge to see who could hit the train with a baseball going by there. But we always had a lot of good times at Crawdad Stadium, you know.
In 2001, Chick Bishop spoke at a sports banquet honoring area high school athletes, and during his speech, he reminisced about Crawdad Stadium and the sacrifices that were made in constructing the field.
Terry is remembered most by his peers and friends, his neighbors, for his leadership in the construction of one of the great athletic facilities ever constructed by a group of fourth and fifth graders. I'm referring to Crawdad Stadium. Two of the people that played a major role in it were Bob and Jim Jones, and of course, Howard and Roberta. Denny is here. There are others I know. Howard and Roberta sacrificed a Cub Cadet. They're laughing now, but when these guys ruined that Cub Cadet, the building Crawdad Stadium, it wasn't a humorous situation. I'm telling you that when the going got tough, Terry would speak into his fist and announce those ball games clear back in the fifth grade. We knew he was going to be great.
He taught me everything I know about radio.
Excitable, very anxious to do whatever it took to make it sound good, wanting to be as professional as he could be.
Just a nothing but outstanding individual.
If the game was exciting with Terry broadcasting, you knew it was exciting because he was always into it.
It's a sad time, but Terry was such a happy person that it's hard not to look back and think about all the fun times we had with him. He may be gone, but his legacy, and arguably more iconically, his voice, will live on forever. Terry Tote has signed off at the age of 63.
Thank you to David for putting that together. I know it wasn't easy for him to do, but he did a remarkable job. It really does, I think, kind of capture what Terry was, the impact that he had. Think about all the people that he worked with. You hear Russ Pence in that audio there. You know, the late Chick Bishop, one of Terry's dear, dear friends. And he was so, so respected. I've never heard of anyone who just didn't think the world of Terry Tote. And quite honestly, if you didn't like Terry, I don't know what's wrong with you. Because that man, he was the epitome of class, dignity, professionalism. I've said this before, outside of my father, he's the greatest man that I've ever had the privilege to know. And to know that I won't get to see him anymore breaks my heart. And we obviously send our thoughts and prayers and best wishes to Brenda, his wife, Brendan and Bridget, his two wonderful children. He loved them all so much. And I feel so, so badly for them as they deal with the loss of Terry, just the greatest guy ever. And so it's so hard. You know, you think you prepare yourself for situations. You know, Terry was sick for a long time. And so you kind of, you know, prepare yourself for what unfortunately is the inevitable outcome. But when it becomes reality, there's nothing that prepares you for it. And it'll take a long, long time and he will never be forgotten. I mean, his legacy will live on forever. You know, at some point, certainly not any time in the near future, some of the pain will subside, and we'll be able to truly remember all the great times, the times he made us laugh, the times he made us feel like we were sitting right there next to him at a ball game. We have all those memories, but right now it's just, it's painful, it's sad, and that's just how it is at this point in time. But Terry, gone way too soon at the age of 63. His visitation will be Wednesday from 3 until 7. The funeral service will be Thursday morning at 10 o'clock, and both of those services will be held at Lincolnwood High School, of course, Terry's alma mater. So, knowing Terry, like I did, the privilege to work with him for all these years, he would say, Timbo, that's enough. This is a sports show. We got a big ball game today. Let's focus on that. Because with Terry, it was all about the kids. It was always about the kids. So we'll take a break. When we come back, we will talk about a big-time softball game today. A trip to the Elite Eight and the Super Sectional in Athens on the line. Hillsboro will face Southwestern. Two heavyweight teams will square off for the sectional championship in Litchfield. Game time, 10 o'clock. We'll have pregame coverage beginning at 9:50 here on FM 106. Sports Saturday returns in just a moment. Welcome back to WSMI Sports Saturday. Tim Mize with you here on FM 106. And we will focus now on the big ball game today. And it is a big one. Hillsboro versus Southwestern, part two for the sectional championship at Litchfield. These two teams met back on the 8th day of May. This was a game that got rained out, wound up being the last game of the regular season. It was played at Hillsboro for the outright South Central Conference Championship, won by the Toppers that day, 2-0, and it was a heck of a ball game. Hillsboro got a single run in the third, an unearned run in the fifth. Kai Hanner was perfect through five innings, as she was dominant. Seven innings pitched, just one hit allowed, and struck out 11 against that powerful Southwestern offense. Bailey Nixon was the tough luck loser that day. Six solid innings, just one earned run, four hits with 12 strikeouts. And that is one of those ball games that was uncharacteristic for Southwestern. They committed three errors on the day, the only time they did that all season long. So the Birds, two losses on the year. One of them, obviously, to Hillsboro. The other came on the back end of a doubleheader, which was game number two of the season to Columbia. So Southwestern carries a 23-2 record into today's sectional final. Hillsboro is 28-3. Their losses to Jersey, Tri-City, Sangamon Valley, and then they lost a game to defending 1A champ Windsor Stu Straw. So these are two teams that have been tested throughout the year, and the South Central Conference guaranteed at least a team to the Elite Eight, and who knows what happens after that. And, you know, a lot of times when you get rematches like this, the team that lost the regular season matchup, for whatever reason, has a little bit of a leg up heading in to the second meeting. That obviously is not anything set in stone. It just seems to be something that plays itself out over the course of time when these situations arise. But this is going to be a low-scoring ball game, one would think. Two extremely talented pitchers, two potent offenses as well. But the pitching on both sides has shown the ability to control powerful offenses throughout the year. Southwestern beat Williamsville 2-0 in their semifinal win. That was a game that was played on Wednesday, supposed to be Tuesday, rained out, pushed back to Wednesday, as Southwestern scored a pair of unearned runs as they went on for the 2-0 victory. Hillsboro, they played then on Thursday, a game that was supposed to be played on Wednesday. Toppers beat Pleasant Plains 5-2. Haley Major, a pair of two-run home runs, and as Carl pointed out at the end of the broadcast, if that game was played the day it was supposed to be played, Wednesday, there was a 20-mile-an-hour wind blowing in from center field, and who knows if the major home runs go out of the park on Wednesday with the wind, but Thursday was a beautiful day with no wind, and she crushed those balls over the fence. And so here we are, Hillsboro Southwestern Part 2. Had a chance to catch up with both head coaches after their semifinal victories. And first, Peg Mitchell, the head coach of the Southwestern Piasaw Birds, as they will play for the sectional championship this morning. We're here with Southwestern head coach Peg Mitchell, and just a few minutes after your semifinal win over Williamsville, that was a heck of a ball game.
That is. At this time of year, you expect to see heck of ball games. You don't see a lot of blowout games at this point. You know, I told the girls, I said, come ready for a battle, because that's what it's going to be. You've got good teams from here on out. We're good. They're good. Let's see who wins the game.
You told me before the ball game, usually in postseason, the team that makes the fewest mistakes comes out on top, and you guys took advantage of a mistake in the third inning.
And, you know, and that's why I said it, is that's usually it. If you ever look in playoffs, the teams that, you know, executes and makes the least amount of stakes usually ends up with a W. Give Williamsville credit. They're a good team. They played their hearts out today.
Bailey Nixon was phenomenal.
Bailey Nixon did what we need Bailey Nixon to do. She was definitely on today, but she has that look, and I've talked about it before this season. When she has that look, I'm just like, okay, game in control. Let's look at other aspects. And that's what she did today. She came out and she put on a performance.
And her catcher, Megan Bailey, helped her out with that great diving catch and then a caught stealing to end the ball game.
You know, they are becoming an impressive battery. They are fun to watch. You know, they're beginning. They almost have, like, psychic abilities between each other, the way they think alike and do things and communicate with each other. And they're a fun battery to watch. They're just fun.
But you guys have had a phenomenal year. You're 23-2. We talked early in the season, and you knew you had a good club, obviously. But just because you have a good club, there's no guarantee of a deep postseason run. So now to be playing for a sectional championship, just kind of your thoughts, your kids, I mean, the emotions have to just be running high right now.
Well, they've set goals early in the year, and I said goals are great, but we go one inning at a time, and that's whether it's the first game of the year or sectional championship, one inning at a time.
And as we stand here now, you don't know who you play, and you don't care who you play. You're in the sectional championship. That's all that matters. But it could be Hillsboro, could be Pleasant Plains. And if it were to be Hillsboro, maybe a little bit of revenge on your mind?
Oh, I mean, what's better than two conference teams going at each other? That's phenomenal. So, I mean, if we can have the opportunity for two conference teams to battle it out again, and if they were to take home the conference championship and us take home the sectional championship, I'm willing to share like that.
You'll take that trade.
I will.
Peg Mitchell, thank you very much. Good luck on Saturday.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
That was Southwestern head coach Peg Mitchell. And for the Toppers of Hillsboro, into the sectional championship game for the first time since 2006, we caught up with their head coach, Brett Teakin. Teak, just a few minutes after this sectional semifinal, but boy, what a ball game.
Yeah, it was another good one. They came out and they hit the ball well, and we got a couple big hits here and there, and you go along, and it's going to be close games. Nobody's going to beat anybody very bad, so you got to be ready and make plays.
What a ball player you have in Haley Major. She wins you the regional with a two-out bunt base hit and then two home runs today.
Yeah, I think I mentioned Saturday after the game that she has power, and she got a couple pitches that she can handle, and she didn't miss them. The second one especially, she fouled off three or four pitches up high and got one down in the zone that she could handle and then drove it out too. So some great at-bats there.
And that second home run was big just because Plains had just gotten two in the top half of that inning. So to come right back and answer back, momentum-wise, was big.
Yeah, whenever they were coming in, as we talked about, we got to answer back. Let's go. And Riley Hemken, too. I mean, yeah. Before both home runs, Riley got singles right up the middle to have somebody on base so they weren't solo shots. And those were two big at-bats, too. So, yeah, we answered, and that put him back in the hole with only two innings to go.
The depth of your lineup has been a strength for you all year, and you're exactly right. When you can get your ninth place hitter aboard in front of that power you have at the top, man, that is a big advantage.
Yeah, a couple girls have been struggling a little bit, but Zoe Hontel hit a nice line drive. The second baseman made a catch on, but whenever you can get the bottom of the order on for the top of the order, a lot of times good things will happen for you, and we were able to do that.
You're now 28-3, and I would venture to guess that in most of those games, your outfielders didn't get a lot of action. But they did today, and they made the plays.
Yeah, Kai was fighting it a little bit today. She wasn't as sharp as she has been here lately and stuff. And it's nice to be able to hold a team to two runs whenever you don't have your best stuff. And the girls had to make plays today, and I don't believe we had any errors. We made all the plays.
And Shelby Hooley made some spectacular plays at shortstop.
Yeah, she's been really solid there for us all year. And in the whole backhand and to plant and throw their leadoff hitter out at first base, that was a huge play in the inning. So she's been playing great for us.
In the Sweet 16 in softball, just like you were in basketball. And we've talked before, totally different seasons, but a Sweet 16 is a Sweet 16.
You're right. Yeah, it's been a long time since we've been able to get this far, and we want to hopefully keep it going and get it on Saturday. But our work's cut out for us, but we're looking forward to it.
And, of course, the opponent will be Southwestern, and you guys played a classic game for the conference championship not that long ago.
Yeah, about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, we played them and got them 2-0 at our place. And they had runners on base in an inning, and it could have gone a little differently. Kai made a great play, and got two really good pitchers on the mound and two good teams. It should be another great game.
I tell you what, the Toppers put a smile on Terry's face today.
Yes, yeah. We heard the news this morning, and they went out and got some black armbands and wearing that in honor of Terry. Everybody in the community here loves him, and we hope his family's doing the best, and we wish them the best, too.
Class Act Teague, thank you so much, and we'll see you on Saturday.
All right, thank you.
And thanks to Paige Mitchell and Brett Teakin for some time after their respective semifinal victory wins earlier this week at Litchfield. So the stage is set. The Toppers and the Birds, a trip to the Super Sectional in Athens on Monday morning at 11 o'clock on the line. We are nearing first pitch. We'll have live coverage coming up in just a matter of moments here on FM 106. The first pitch scheduled for 10 o'clock. It's a game time moved up an hour, trying to avoid weather that could be coming into the listening area. So 10 o'clock this morning, first pitch, Hillsboro Southwestern for the Litchfield Softball Sectional Championship. We'll take a break. Back in a moment. Welcome back to WSMI Sports Saturday here on FM 106. We are continuing to count down to the 2A Softball Sectional Championship at Litchfield. Hillsboro will face Southwestern, the winner into the Athens Super Sectional on Memorial Day. Live coverage coming up about 9:50 this morning here on FM 106. Yesterday in 1A Softball Sectional Championship play at Jacksonville Route, Calhoun beat Route Catholic 11-0. Sydney Ballman, 5 innings, just 1 hit, 10 strikeouts. She was also 2-for-3 with a home run and 4 RBI. At Macon Meridian, the defending 1A champs rolled over host Meridian 8-1 the final. And in Steelville, Gorville beat Elkville Alvarado 14-0. In 2A sectional softball championship play yesterday at DeCoin, Pinckneyville beat Harrisburg 4-0. At Brimfield, Taylor Ridge Rock Ridge over Tremont 13-1. At Braidwood, Beecher beat Reed Custer 3-0. And at Lyle Senior, Aurora Central Catholic shut out Elmhurst IC Catholic 3-0. On the docket today in Class 2A at Newton, Modern Day faces T-Town at 10. Stanford Olympia will be hosting a sectional championship game and taking on Tolono Unity. That's scheduled for an 11 o'clock first pitch. And in a game postponed from yesterday at Orion, Sterling Newman Central Catholic faces Winnebago at 11. In 1A softball today at Farina, Centralia Christar Rock Lutheran against Marissa. That's an 11 o'clock start. At Champaign St. Thomas More, 10 o'clock this morning, Salt Fork faces Villa Grove. And at Williamsfield, Lewiston takes on Illini Bluffs. That game will start at 11 o'clock. In 3A regional softball championship action yesterday at Jerseyville, Jersey beat Columbia 8-1. Rochester beat Clinton 4-0. And Freeburg beat Triad 6-0. In the 4A regional championship play yesterday at Edwardsville, Edwardsville beat Collinsville 6-5. Coming up in 4A today at Belleville East, it'll be Belleville West against O'Fallon. That's an 11 o'clock start. And then in 3A at Taylorville, Glenwood faces Griffin. That begins at 11. At Muhammad Seymour, Charleston takes on Muhammad Seymour, also starting at 11. Coming up in 2A sectional baseball championship games today, 10 o'clock start in Pleasant Plains as Plains faces New Berlin. At 10 o'clock in Totopolis, T-Town against Modern Day. And in the Bloomington Central Catholic sectional at Illinois Wesleyan, St. Joe Ogden will face Tuscola. That will begin at 2. In 1A baseball sectional championship action today, 11 o'clock start at Greenville University as Carrollton will face Waterloo Jabot. At the Minden Unity Sectional being held at Illinois College, Jacksonville Route will take on Illini Bluffs. That will begin at 11. And in Dietrich today at 11, North Clay will face Altamont. 3A Baseball Regional Championships today, 10 o'clock at Taylorville, Rochester against Glenwood. 11 o'clock at Quincy Notre Dame, it is SHG versus QND. And in Troy, Highland against Muscoota, that's at 11 o'clock. And in 4A at Alton, 10 o'clock start, Edwardsville will face Alton. Girls soccer today, the state championship for Class 1A is set. 5 o'clock tonight, Columbia will take on North Shore Country Day. Columbia beat Lyle Senior 5-0 in the semis. North Shore Country Day beat Hersher 2-0. 2A sectional championship play last night at Rochester. Springfield High beat SHG in double overtime 2-1. Coming up today at Bethalto, Glenwood will play Triad. That match begins at 10. And in the 3A Moline sectional championship held at Bloomington High School, Manuka beat Edwardsville in double overtime by the final of 2-1. The boys' state track and field meet will wrap up today with the finals. And in Class 1A for Carthenville, competing in the finals, Will Walton in the long jump and triple jump, Michael Douglas in the high jump, Jacob Landon in the 800, Isaac Doherty in the pole vault, and Dustin Roberts will also compete in the pole vault. For Pleasant Plains, you will have Tristan Tavis in the long jump and high jump, Chase Schmidt in the discus, Keegan Halford in the 110 high hurdles. Plains will have their 4x8 and their 4x400 relays running, and Braden Moore will run in the 3200. For Southwestern, E.J. Call will compete in the 200-meter final. Jake Carter of Gillespie will compete in the discus final. For Pena, Cody Klein will run for state championships in the 100 and the 200, and Pena's 4x100 relay will run in the finals. Vandalia has a couple of athletes in the finals today. Cameron Withers in the pole vault, Gavin Davis in the high jump. For Williamsville, Cameron Witts in the pole vault, and Brad Olsov in the shot put and the discus. And Carrollton's Dylan Smith will compete in the high jump. And in the 2A state finals today, Carson Rantanen of Staunton will compete for a championship in the 100-meter dash. Good luck to all of our area athletes competing today. Hopefully the weather holds out and everything gets played as it is scheduled. Coming up, sectional championship softball from Litchfield, Hillsboro, and Southwestern. A trip to the 8th and Super Sectional on the line. Sports Saturday is done on your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois, WSMI, FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carthenville, and Greenville. Have a great sporting weekend.